subverting democratic governance and positioning themselves as unelected rulers of the emerging authoritarian regime. They practiced techniques for ruthlessly controlling dissent, expression, and movement, and degrading civil rights, autonomy, and sovereignty. The Gates simulation focused on deploying the usual PSYOP's retinue of propaganda, surveillance, censorship, isolation, and political and social control to manage the pandemic. The official 89-page summary is a miracle of fortune-telling, an uncannily precise month-by-month prediction of the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic as it actually unfolded. Looked at another way, when it erupted 5 years later, the 2020 COVID-19 contagion faithfully followed the SPARS blueprint. Practically the only thing Gates and his planners got wrong was the year. Gates's simulation instructs public health officials and other collaborators in the global vaccine cartel exactly what to expect and how to behave during the upcoming plague. Reading through the 89 pages, it's difficult not to interpret this stunningly prescient document as a planning, signaling, and training exercise for replacing democracy with a new regimen of militarized global medical tyranny. The scenario directs participants to deploy fear-driven propaganda narratives to induce mass psychosis and to direct the public toward unquestioning obedience to the emerging social and economic order. According to the scenario narrative, a so-called SPARS coronavirus ignites in the United States in January 2025. The COVID-19 pandemic began in January 2020. As the WHO declares a global emergency, the federal government contracts a fictional firm that resembles Moderna. Consistent with Gates's seeming preference for diabolical cognomens, the firm is dubbed SynBio to develop an innovative vaccine using new plug-and-play technology. In the scenario, and now in real life, federal health officials invoke the PREP Act to provide vaccine makers liability protection. Another company in this scenario receives an emergency use authorization for a remdesivir-like antiviral named Calosevir that federal officials previously evaluated as a therapeutic for SARS and MERS. This item seems to predict Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates's aggressive promotion of a failed Ebola drug, remdesivir, during the pandemic as standard of care for COVID-19. Dr. Fauci helped develop the drug, and Gates has a substantial equity stake in its manufacturer, Gilead. The two men promoted remdesivir during the earlier Ebola and Zika pandemics, despite its stunning inadequacy as a remedy for these ailments. Promotion of remdesivir and the simultaneous Gates-Fauci orchestrated suppression of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine collectively, as we shall see, caused hundreds of thousands of deaths in the United States alone. According to the scenario, by late January, SPARS has spread to every state and 42 countries. In record speed, a coalition of ingenious corporate and heroic government officials miraculously produce a new vaccine, Corovax, just in time for a July 2026 emergency use authorization rollout. This medical marvel meets resistance from several nuisance groups who complain that the companies have not adequately tested the jab. Among these ingrates are African Americans, alternative medicine enthusiasts, and a rapidly growing members of an anti-vaccination movement who bellyache on social media. But government and industry leaders depicted in those 89 pages have plans to silence and censor these dangerous elements and to crush all resistance. The SPARS team responds with a flood of propaganda to drown doubt with vaccine plugola, public shaming of the vaccine hesitant, and patriotic appeals. While allies in government and the media boost public acceptance with propaganda, impose censorship, and muzzle dissent, Gates's minions recruit trusted interlocutors, familiar community and medical leaders, to mollify the public that the experimental, unapproved, hastily tested zero-liability vaccine is safe and effective. The most effective interlocutor is Dr. Paul Farmer, Harvard's esteemed medical anthropologist and co-founder of Partners in Health, which provides medical care to impoverished regions around the globe. The simulation report states, Paul Farmer, the renowned global health expert, lauded the safety and efficacy of Corovax and underscored the dangers of SPARS. His only regret, he said, was that the vaccine could not yet be made available to everyone on the planet. The real-life Farmer lists Gates as his organization's top funding partner. By springtime 2026, with the EUA vaccine rollout in full swing, public reservations about the vaccine are multiplying. The scenario blueprint predicts waves of severe neurological vaccine injuries soon appearing among children and adults. The CDC is meeting escalating skepticism toward its exaggerated predictions of coronavirus lethality. Official fatality numbers indicate that coronavirus mortalities are comparable to the seasonal flu. Quote, by May 2026, public interest in SPARS had begun to wane. In late April, the CDC had publicized an updated case fatality rate estimate suggesting that SPARS was only fatal in 0.6% of cases in the United States, end quote. Note, the 2020 COVID-19 case fatality rate was a mere 0.26%, according to CDC. The SPARS organizers warn that dropping death rates will spark public sentiment, widely expressed on social media, that SPARS was not as dangerous as initially thought. This perilous drop in popular fear jeopardizes the vaccine enterprise. The SPARS team turns to pandemic porn, constantly repeated death counts and case counts, to amplify the panic decibel so as to assure the success of their mass inoculation program. To overcome the public's dangerous complacency, the CDC and FDA, in concert with other government agencies and their social media experts, begin developing a new public health propaganda campaign, create a core set of messages that could be shared by all public health and government agencies over the next several months, during which time the SPARS vaccine could be introduced. In a section headed Food for Thought, the scenario challenges participants to devise their own strategies for disabling common sense so as to achieve broad vaccine coverage. It reads, how might federal health authorities avoid people possibly seeing an expedited SPARS vaccine in development and testing process as somehow rushed and inherently flawed? How might federal health authorities respond to critics who propose that liability protection for SPARS vaccine manufacturers jeopardizes individual freedom and well-being? What are the potential consequences of health officials over-reassuring the public about the potential risks of a novel SPARS vaccine when long-term effects are not yet known? Even a casual read of the Foundation's planning document makes clear that Gates's preparation has little to do with public health and everything to do with limiting freedom and aggressively marketing vaccines. The planners tell their intended audience, public health providers and pandemic communicators, that public concerns over worrisome reactions and vaccine side effects can be drowned out by flooding the airwaves with good news about vaccine successes. The dismaying role of mainstream media in these exercises is to broadcast propaganda, impose censorship, and manufacture consent for oppressive policies. In their projections, the social planners project absolute confidence that news media and social media companies will fully cooperate with this coup d'etat. The simulation planners presciently assume their capacity to undermine the Fourth Estate in its role as the gladiatorial champion of free speech and democracy, and their ability to subvert the social media, which once promised to democratize the flow of information. Both mainstream and social media titans, it turns out, are predisposed to serve globalist elites. Gates and his cronies somehow intuited that these institutions would obligingly shape news coverage so as to manufacture obedience with compulsory vaccination and the dismemberment of the Constitution. It reads, in the following months, the WHO began developing an enhanced international vaccine program based on the expanded financial support of the United States and other countries. As time passed and more people across the United States were vaccinated, claims of adverse side effects began to emerge. Given the positive reaction to the federal government's response and the fact that the majority of U.S. citizens willing to be vaccinated had already been immunized, the negative publicity surrounding adverse reactions had little effect on nationwide vaccination rates. Gates and his team assure pandemic planners that they will easily avoid culpability for the wave of long-term neurological injuries that they caused by their experimental vaccines. It goes on to say, while the federal government appeared to have appropriately addressed concerns around the acute side effects of Coronavac, the long-term chronic effects of the vaccine were still largely unknown. Nearing the end of 2027, reports of new neurological symptoms began to emerge. After showing no adverse side effects for nearly a year, several vaccine recipients slowly began to experience symptoms such as blurry vision, headaches, and numbness in their extremities. Due to the small number of these cases, the significance of their association with Coronavac was never determined. According to organizers, the purpose of Gates's simulation was to prepare public health communicators with a step-by-step strategic playbook for the upcoming pandemic. 18 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, it is difficult to peruse Gates's detailed 2018 planning document without feeling that we are all being played. Laying pipe for totalitarianism. Following the success of the SPARS simulation, Gates projected a progressively darker and more martial tone and stepped up his declarations about the need for authoritarian coercion to cinch compliance with vaccination against the impending pandemic. On April 18, 2018, Gates delivered a speech at the Malaria Summit in London, warning that a deadly new disease could arise within a decade, taking the world by surprise, spreading globally, and killing tens of millions. Hinting at the need for increased coordination between health officials and militaries, Gates reiterated, "The world needs to prepare for pandemics in the same serious way it prepares for war." Gates's simulations invoke the concept of total war, meaning the mobilization of entire populations, the sacrifice of global economies, and the obliteration of democratic institutions and civil rights. Appreciating the challenges of imposing tyrannical controls in a democracy, Gates increasingly focused his efforts on enrolling critical allies in big tech and the military. On April 27th, Gates told the Washington Post that he had warned President Trump about the increasing risk of a bioterrorism attack. Emphasizing his frequent contacts with the president and military advisors, he publicly disclosed having regular meetings with H.R. McMaster, Trump's former national security advisor. Gates was simultaneously building bridges with social media tycoons, including Amazon's Jeff Bezos, whose support he would need for his master plan. Like all totalitarian capers, Gates's gambit would require some book burning, and Bezos would be there to oblige. Beginning in March 2020, Amazon would outright ban or throttle the delivery of entire categories of books and videos that questioned official orthodoxies, including the scientific basis for the lockdown that would multiply Bezos's wealth by tens of billions. In the finest Operation Mockingbird tradition, Bezos's Washington Post also pitched in, including a shrill yet adoring propaganda tract under the headline, "Bill Gates calls on U.S. to lead fight against a pandemic that could kill 33 million. That month, Gates announced a $12 million grand challenge in partnership with the family of Google's co-founder Larry Page to accelerate developing a universal flu vaccine. Google's parent company, Alphabet, was already heavily investing in vaccine manufacturing startups and had signed a $76 million partnership with GlaxoSmithKline. Apparently anticipating rich returns to big tech from the lockdown he would orchestrate, Gates was by then among the largest shareholders of Amazon, Google, Facebook, and of course, Microsoft. The day after the Post story ran, a board member of the EcoHealth Alliance emailed zoologist and bioweapons expert Peter Daszak, "Any connections with Bill Gates we could reactivate given this perfect alignment in mission?" Daszak responded, "Regarding Gates and Google, we have good connections at both orgs. We'll definitely be reaching out to them again." Ever since the Ebola outbreak, Gates Foundation are now getting more into pandemic preparedness. Daszak, at that juncture, was acting as a conduit through which Tony Fauci, Robert Kadlec, the Pentagon, DARPA, and USAID, formerly a CIA cover and nowadays reporting to the National Security Council, were laundering grants to fund gain-of-function experiments, including at the Wuhan Institute of Virology Biosafety Lab. In 2018, the French government had warned U.S. government officials that the Wuhan lab, which the French helped build, was shoddily maintained and inadequately staffed and secured. For example, the French construction company bioMérieux, which built the lab, had neglected to properly complete the negative airflow system, a critical piece of infrastructure to prevent the escape of viruses deliberately enhanced to create pandemics. Dr. Fauci ignored the warning. When in May 2021 I emailed bioMérieux's ex-CEO, 2007 through 2011, Stéphane Bancel, to ask him if he knew that his company had violated its contract to provide a functional system, he did not reply. Bancel, by that time, was CEO of Moderna and a partner of Bill Gates and Tony Fauci, operating a company that would be the primary beneficiary of the lab leak, quickly making Bancel's 9% stake worth over $1 billion and counting. In March 2019, 8 months before COVID-19 began circulating, Bancel had reapplied for a patent for an mRNA technology for Moderna's new vaccine. The U.S. Patent Office had previously rejected his application, but this time he approached the Patent Office with special urgency, expressing a concern for reemergence or a deliberate release of the SARS coronavirus. Between germ game simulations, Gates continued his barnstorming tour, laying pipe for mass panic and authoritarian rule. At the annual Shattuck Lecture on April 27, 2018, in Boston, he warned, "We can't predict when, but given the continual emergence of new pathogens, the increasing risk of a bioterror attack, and how connected our world is through air travel, there is a significant probability of a large and lethal modern-day pandemic occurring in our lifetimes." Biological weapons of mass destruction, he warned, had become easier to create in the lab. Gates went on to add that we are supporting efforts by others, including the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, whose vaccine candidate, presumably Moderna, is expected to advance to human safety trials in about a year. Cladex, 2018. Then, on May 15, 2018, inside the darkened ballroom of Washington's Mandarin Oriental Hotel, foreboding military music introduced another pandemic biowarfare preparation exercise hosted by the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, formerly the Hopkins Population Center, which Gates and NIH fund. The day-long event, dubbed Clade X, simulated the response to a fictitious bioengineered pathogen for which there is no vaccine. Hoping to reduce world population, an elite cult released their genetically engineered bug from a Zurich lab. The disease spreads first to Germany and Venezuela, and then to the United States, killing 100 million people globally as healthcare systems collapsed, panic spread, the U.S. stock market crashed. The simulation included a series of National Security Council convened meetings of 10 U.S. government leaders played by individuals prominent in the fields of national security or epidemic response. The exercise emphasized the need for militarized pandemic responses and explored strategies for controlling media and social media. It was a training drill to prepare political, bureaucratic, military, and intelligence officials to support the coup d'etat against American democracy and the U.S. Constitution. Participating were a kitchen cabinet of former top leaders of the FDA.